going to do things a little differently this morning. I just feel leading the Spirit not to separate from His presence at this moment to take care of business. We'll do that at the end. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your presence in every life and heart that's here, Lord. I thank You for calling all of us, every one of us, out of bondage and darkness into Your marvelous light. I thank You, Lord, that Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, Lord. We ask for Your Word to be revealed. We ask for You to speak to us this morning, to touch hearts and lives, cause insight, cause illumination, cause change, Lord. Direct us and correct us. We love You, Lord. I yield to You, Lord. Let it not be me that's seen, Lord, but let it be You. Let it not be me that's heard, but You, Lord, that's heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Praise God. You know, it takes a long time sometimes to get over all of the old religious garbage that we've been taught. You know, and I don't mean to be disrespectful when I say that, but how many can acknowledge we've been taught a lot of religious garbage in the church? Amen? Hallelujah. Worthless stuff that keeps us in bondage. Amen? Praise the Lord. And it's been a long, hard road coming back from that. And it takes what we know already. That's the washing of the water by the Word. It takes having your mind renewed. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I saw some things in this scripture that just absolutely elated me. And it brings revelation to my heart. It solidifies some things in me that I've been hearing about. Stan and I have discussed a little bit on an occasion or two. We haven't had an in-depth discussion, which I really wanted to do, but I haven't had an opportunity yet. But we just don't understand totally what happened through what Jesus did and the plan of God. You know, we still think there's garbage hanging on us. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It's okay to say amen. Amen. You know, act like you know what I'm talking about. It's all right. You know, we've got some crazy ideas. You know, one of the things that I've struggled with my entire Christian walk, even to some degree to this day, is the fact that at some point I still have that, while I don't say it out loud maybe, I still have that feeling of unworthiness. And like He's just looking for an opportunity because there's still residuals hanging on. And that's not the case. That is not the case. I mean, get that down. Get that down right now. That is not the case. Amen? You've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into His marvelous light. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we need to understand some things. And I saw this morning and it jumped out at me. So I want to share it with you. I'm going to start in verse 1. The main text that we're going to look at is verses 11 through 25. But I'm going to start with verse 10, or verse 1 of chapter 10 of Hebrews. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered. For the worshiper, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. One of the things the church has been faithful to do today is teach sin consciousness rather than righteousness consciousness. I'm telling you, I came from a place where it was steeped in that nonsense. They may not have said it with their mouth, but you felt the underlining current by the things you were bombarded with that came from the pulpit. Like I say, they didn't come right out and say it, but you were bombarded with that. No wonder the church is going around with their shoulders, you know, and their heads bowed and everything, and their shoulders, you know, turned out or in. I'm a worm. Dear Lord, we've been taught some nasty stuff. That's a picture of us before salvation, not after salvation. Hallelujah. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. Every time they did those sacrifices, even though it was sent for a relieving of or doing away or, you know, taking the pressure of the sin off of them, it gave them the idea that you are still a sinner. Now, before Jesus came, that as a correct statement, because there was no remission of sins until Jesus became the spotless sacrifice of God for our sin. Amen? There's no disputing that. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. It was a type and shadow. Jesus came to obey the Father. We know that. And his death fulfills God's will. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. But I said, behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law." See, the law is still there, but we're not under the law. We're under grace. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to see in a moment how God wrote his laws in our hearts, and he continues to write his laws in our hearts. For what? So we don't sin against him, number one, but so that we're reminded and we see clearly that we have been redeemed.
Amen.
We have been transformed. More than that, we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Sometimes we lose sight of the marvelous work that was done on the cross, by the shed blood, and by his submitting to God's plan to redeem mankind. Then he said, behold, in verse 9, "I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first, that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified. Did you hear that? By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ. Now listen. There's a finality here, once for all.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Now in verse 11, please focus in. Let the Holy Spirit minister to you these words. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Now, I don't know about you, but that leads me to believe that the work was done and he was entering into rest. There was no more to do.
Amen.
Amen.
And yet we sometimes think that he's got more to do. Does anybody feel that way like me sometimes? Have you ever felt that way? Thank God for your honesty. I was going to cast lying spirits out in a minute here. From that time, verse 13, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever. Did you hear that? For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Y'all can say that's me.
Amen.
That's you and I. We're being sanctified. We are sanctified. By what? That's right, by the blood and the righteousness and justice of Christ, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Did you notice in verse 12 that it talks about it till his enemies be made his footstool? The enemy's already a footstool. We sang one song this morning about we went to the enemy's camp and took back what he stole from us.
Amen.
That's enough to get you cranked. Praise the Lord. That means, you understand, I mean, we all understand. Hopefully we understand, for maybe one or two who may not understand. Jesus is the head of the church. We are the church. Well, a head doesn't survive without a body. That's why we're called the body of Christ. We need to settle once and for all the fact that because he's the head, And we're the body. We are seated with him at the right hand of God. And the enemy is his footstool. He's under his feet. That means he's under your feet.
That's right.
So why are we running around with shrunken shoulders? Why are we running around letting things affect us when they shouldn't affect us anymore? You've been redeemed. You've been made righteous through the righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of God in Christ. You've been justified, sanctified. He sanctified you because of what he did.
Amen.
Verse 14 again. For by one offering he has perfected. Did you get that? Perfected. Forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, this is the covenant, a covenant. Do you realize a covenant that's really a covenant can never be broken? Can never be broken.
Amen.
There was a penalty of death on the part of the person who broke the covenant. Most covenants, as we know, were sealed with blood. Or there was some kind of an exchange. And if you broke it, you were worthy of death. But thank God that he knows our frame. And he knows we're just dust. Now, I'm not a big advocate of T.D. Jakes, and I'm not going to go into what he was saying this morning, but I'm going to tell you what, some of it made a lot of sense. But one of the things he was saying is the fact that, you know, there's a work that's been done, and what there is now, he likened the flesh and the soul to Cain and Abel, and the spirit man to Cain and Abel. We have been redeemed. Now, he's working on us. He knows. He knows what we go through. So for him to be, you know, there's a song that's out today. Some of you probably heard it. Maybe all of you have heard it. That says, if he were to keep a record, and I'm paraphrasing this, of what we do, who could stand? If our transgressions were recorded, who could stand? We're not talking about willful sins. We're just talking about mistakes. But we've been taught such fear. I'm not talking about reverence. I'm talking about fear. False evidence against reality or reasoning. By well-meaning but mixed-up preachers. And church doctrine, that he's looking for an excuse. I don't know where that hogwash came from. I don't know where it came from. But I can tell, yes, I do too. I'm sorry. Let's just be honest. It came right from the pit of hell. That's right. Came right from the pit of hell. And I don't know about you. Let's stop and think about this for just a minute. God saw the sin of Adam, so he devised a plan. He decided to send Jesus. Jesus shed his blood. He took stripes so that we could be healed. And he was obedient even to the death of the cross. And now we're saved. Unless we mess up.
No.
Well, I don't know about you, but that makes my brain go tilt. Yeah. And he's not into conditional love.
Amen.
Amen. Why would he go through all that if there wasn't a prayer in the world of us getting there? Of us being able to see this through? Not by ourselves, with his help. Amen? Hallelujah. We've got to come to the place where we're no longer sin conscious, but we're righteousness conscious. We've been justified, just as if we had never sinned. Now, that's one of those places where the natural man does not receive the things of God. It has to be spiritually discerned. Because that makes no sense to me, but I know it's true. Amen? I walk in it. I'm a living testimony in it. And so are you. So are you. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why an old big guy like me can get excited once in a while, like this morning. Praise the Lord. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and in their minds, and I will write them. The reason we know already, the Scripture says, that we hide his word in our hearts, or his laws, so we might not sin against him. But we're not under the law. We're under grace. That doesn't change the laws. There is a law that says the wages of sin is death. Now, the one sin that's able to take us straight to hell is the sin of rejecting Jesus, the sin of not receiving the free gift that God sent. But not walking in the truth and not letting your flesh run wild can bring you to the place where you will eventually contemplate giving it back. But we're not there. That's not us. So we don't even need to consider that anymore. We keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Amen? Hallelujah. We do that by what? By the washing of the water of the Word. And by the renewing of our mind. Thank you, Lord, for our eyes being illuminated this morning. I will put my laws into their hearts and into their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, listen carefully. This sounds kind of like an absolute to me. So don't tell me there's not absolutes, thank you very much, world. Yeah, I'm not open-minded. I'm open-minded to God, but not to the garbage that they try to spit out. I'm not open-minded to accept things that are an abomination to God. I'm not open to accepting things that are absolutely unrighteous and go against the Ten Commandments and go against God's plan and what God says is right and wrong. There is no gray with God. It's right or it's wrong. But thank God when we make a mistake, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? And I will remember them no more. Now, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. You've accepted the free gift. So why would you want to go, and none of us do, but why would you want to go, or why would you think then that the weak and beggarly elements of this world still operate in your life? You're thinking with the carnal mind, not with the spiritual mind. T.D. Jakes was talking this morning about the blessing between, was it Esau and Jacob? I can't remember anyway, but you know what I'm talking about. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And how that what happened was because the mother saw what was in the heart of the younger and that God had called the younger, she tricked him into blessing the younger instead of the older. The plan wasn't to do away with the older. It was to bring him into subjection to the Spirit. I'm going to get off on another thing. I can't explain it the way he did. It was good what he was saying this morning anyway. If you could follow through with all the other things that he added there. But anyway, verse 19, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated. Did you catch that? He consecrated for us through the veil. This veil that's being talked about here is the type and shadow of the veil in the temple is the flesh. That's the curtain that keeps us from walking in the things of God. That's the curtain that keeps us from walking. But he, thank God, because of what he did, he's torn it in two. And now we have access. We have access through adoption. Amen. Praise the Lord. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, listen carefully, in full assurance of faith. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. See, one of the reasons that we have problems sometimes when we do something or we, you know, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, you know, you catch yourself and you say, oop, you know, whatever it was. Mom and Dad told you not to do something and all of a sudden you're doing it. You're like, oh, wait a minute, not to do that. And all of a sudden we get, you know, the enemy comes in faithfully and tries to beat us down. You messed up? You messed up. You're in trouble now. Oh, tie it outside. Having the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now listen carefully. Again, this is not a suggestion. This is a command. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Didn't he say he's begun a good work in you? Didn't he promise he was going to continue that work and perform that work, complete that work until the return of Jesus?
Amen.
Glory to God. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Praise the Lord. Now there's words of life. Your Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life. And when you start thinking weird thoughts, you know, and the other thing is too, you know, God searches the heart. He knows what's in your heart. That's why David cried out, search me, O God, and know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways, and see if there's any wicked way in me. That should be our cry every day. so that God will reveal those areas where we need a touch. Amen? Where we need to come up and get rid of some of that stinking thinking. Hallelujah. Man, some powerful songs this morning we did. Powerful songs. We need Him more today than we've ever needed Him. I mean, if you just allow me to go this route, I mean, that world we know, I mean, it's obvious. They're going so fast, so headlong, to hell in a handbasket. It's just unbelievable. I look at people, and sometimes, you know, I get upset. And I'm thinking, you know, sometimes out loud, just me and the Lord in the car. And I'm thinking things, and all of a sudden, the compassion of God wells up in front in me. And I'm thinking, Lord, these people are speeding to hell. They're speeding to hell. They're not just speeding down the road. They're speeding to hell. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Separation from God forever. And there's no return from that. But if we, like David, when we make a mistake or something, how many get offended when you do something sometimes? You know, it's not a sin, but you're just not happy with what you did or what you thought, what you said. You get offended. You know, you get offended for yourself. Go to God and you repent, and all of a sudden you feel that release and that peace. Amen? Richard spoke about holiness here two Wednesdays ago. I want to tell you one of the things that was brought out in that Wednesday night is the fact that you can't be holy. You don't have the ability to be holy. But God in you working makes you holy. He exposes the places in your heart where you need to let go and let God, if you will. And He'll reveal them. Once again, one of the greatest struggles I ever had as a young Christian, I finally threw up my arms and said, God, I'm not even going to try anymore. It's worthless. I can't make it. I can't do this. I don't have the ability. So I'm going to hell anyway, so I'll just give up. And at that moment, I mean, I expected lightning to strike, but at that moment, the sweet Holy Spirit began to say, Bill, He didn't call you, or I didn't ask you. I heard God speak, however it was, Holy Spirit, however, probably the Holy Spirit, say, Bill, I didn't call you to be good, and then I'd come in. I said, let me in, and I'll clean you up and make you good from the inside out. One step, one issue at a time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just be steadfast, immovable. And a little kicker to that is always abounding in the work of the Lord. Amen? In God's eyes, you're blameless. See, for us to believe any other thing, or for us to let these silly things that try to attach themselves to us, this, again, stinking thinking, means that God's work was inadequate. It wasn't a complete work. That's about the dumbest thing I've ever heard now that I think about it. And yet we don't think about that at the moment. Now, I caution you, don't allow your conscience to be seared by letting your appetites run over you. What am I talking about? I'm not just talking about food. I'm talking about things we don't want to give up and the moments we don't want to give them up when we know we should be doing something else or be someplace else or accomplishing something else other than what we're doing. God's still working on me too, folks. I have not arrived. But He's good and He's faithful. And He did a work that is irreversible. The only way it can ever be taken from you is if you willfully give it back. And you're not going to do that in your right mind. The Bible says in Romans 11:29, His gifts and His call are without repentance. Irrevocable. Irrevocable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we read about the exceeding great and precious promises, I'd say this pretty much makes it pretty clear. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes not just by our actions, but by our thinking, we frustrate the grace of God. And we ought not to do that. We ought not to do that. Once again, we've been taken out of darkness and brought into His marvelous light. Marvelous light. And the only way we can be entangled again with the yoke of bondage is if we allow it or we enter into that. It can't be put on you. Hallelujah. Didn't he say, who's able to take you out of my hand? Nothing will separate you from the love of God. Then he went on to list them, neither height nor depth nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come. Creatures nor any other thing will be able to separate you from the love of God. And then he asked the question, who's able to take you out of my hand? There's only one. And if you're totally surrendered to him, you never entertain that thought. Never, ever entertain that thought. Everyone here knows that there have been trials. There's been some suffering along the way. But there's a far greater reward, amen? We need to count that but loss. That's what keeps me going. We start having pity parties and licking our wounds. And start thinking, God, well, why is this happening to me? Don't look at me like that. You all do the same thing. Don't tell me you don't. Oh, thank God that I'm honest enough to tell you the truth. But I'm not giving up. See, that's a decision I've made. I'm not going back on that. I don't care what happens. Stan's dad or Stan might have said it, but look, I don't care if it hair lips half of Congress. I'm not going back. Because the only thing back there is imminent death and destruction. And I've come too far and worked too hard with the help of the Holy Spirit. I didn't do it on my own. It's not by my works of righteousness that he saved me and he saved you. Amen? But according to his mercy, those resources adequate to meet your need. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be encouraged this morning. This is not a conditional salvation. Well, I take that back. There's one condition. There's only one condition. That is, receive me or reject me. And if you receive him and make that decision, no decision's a decision until it's a decision. Come on now. Rocket science. Then there's nothing that's going to take you out of his hand. There's nothing that's going to come between you and God. And I remind you once again what he says. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but it doesn't end there. There's a big but there. The Lord delivers them out of them all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, give him praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you today, Lord. We praise you today. We thank you the enemy's under our feet. We thank you, Lord, that you reveal yourself through your word and that you still speak to hearts today. You're not done, Lord. This is the guideline, but you still write on the hearts of men. Your laws, your precepts. You're not done speaking. You're still speaking to your men. And that's not gender specific. You're mankind. Because you created us for fellowship with you. That's your desire, Lord. Let that be the thing that gets so riveted into us, Lord, that we can never be free of that thought. Your desire is that you have fellowship with us, that we would have fellowship with you. That's what this is all about. You've told us in many different ways in your word, Lord, that you don't have any record of our sin, the unrighteousness. And yet, Lord, because you're a just God, you know and you understand, you've said that you know our frame, you know we're with dust. And that's why, with all of that, you've made it so we have an advocate and a high priest who goes before us. We thank you for that this morning, Lord. Again,
Again, let this be riveted into the hearts. Let your word, your thoughts be sealed in every heart this morning, starting right here, Lord, so that we never go over this again. Remind us, Lord, of what a great salvation we have, but don't ever let us go over this again. Let it be sealed and done once and forever. Settled. Settled. Let's move on to deeper and bigger and better things. Holy Spirit, we thank you for that. That's your job, and you're faithful, and you do that job. And now, because of today, Lord, we can go on, face the rest of the day and tomorrow and days to come, Lord, with anticipation of your supernatural intervention, your inevitable supernatural intervention in our lives, in every area, knowing there's not one thing you withhold from us, knowing that our prayers are answered, that you hear us and you respond. Father, help us to be men and women, parents like you, Lord, like you, Father. Not just to our physical family, but to our spiritual family. One of the things you talked about, Lord, wasn't just physical reproduction and reproducing in your image and likeness, but spiritual discipleship of others so that they come into your spiritual, into your likeness and image. We thank you today that in us dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, we thank you for the freedom. Just for a moment, close your eyes and just take 3 good deep breaths. Just breathe it in. Assurance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your presence. Praise you, Lord. Is there anything we need to pray about? Thank you, Lord, for this time. If you need a cash giving envelope, raise your hand, please. Let's give him his tithes and our offerings this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
About you, but I was filled at the end of worship.
Yes.
I haven't had a 3-tissue worship session in a long time, but man, I wasn't sure that third one was even going to make it. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand and someone will make sure you get one. Reminder, in case you've forgotten, today after the service, we're having our home fellowship potluck at the Clausens. If you forgot about it, you're not prepared or whatever, come anyway. The directions are on the back of the bulletin, and we'd love to have you there, and I know there's always enough food, so don't worry about it. And then just a reminder to Mark, 2 Saturdays from yesterday will be our fellowship breakfast for everybody at the Country Buffet. And just want to share this with you. during the music before the service even started, and Patrick was playing that song, I Need You More, and I was just praying. God actually, this is very unusual, gave me another song yesterday at home. Very unusual. I usually only write songs here at church because of something somebody says, and it just sparks something, you know. But I was reading a novel actually yesterday, and the phrase was there about a jars of clay. And so I had ended up writing this song. And so this morning, as that song was playing, I Need You More, I was just praying, Lord, you know, and because the jars of clay concept was there. And jars of clay and being in the potter's hand and so on is referred to a couple of times in the New Testament. And the picture with the jars of clay is that some jars, back in those days, were made to hold fragrant oils. Some of them were made to hold water. And some of them were their potties under their beds, not made to hold nice things. And yet they were all necessary. And so the jars of clay concept that I was kind of, God was talking to me about was, you know, we're not all made for the same things, but that doesn't make us any less valuable. Because
right.
face it,
right.
if you didn't have a bathroom down the hall and you needed the potty in the middle of the night, and, you know, that would be very important to you, not to have to hold it till you got out to the outhouse. And so I was just praying about that. And then the line in that song, because I never want to go back to my old life. They just, you know, and it just struck me. Every time I've ever heard that line before, I always think about B.C., before Christ, in my life, before I actually came back to Christ, which was about 12 years ago. Man, I should have been dead. When you hear about the things that kill kids these days, I should have been dead. I would have been dead. And yet, God reminded me, he said, look, that's gone. That's past.
Yeah.
But what about a couple of years ago, or even last year, or even 2 days ago or yesterday? And it was like, it just hit me. God, I don't want to go back there either.
Yeah.
This is a process. None of us, I don't care how long you've been walking with Jesus,
right.
have not arrived. Salvation is not a once-in-a-lifetime thing. It's an ongoing process.
Yes.
And so I just want to encourage you to seek him this week on what kind of a jar of clay has he made you to be? What purpose has he made you to fulfill? And then joy in those things that he's changing in you. They don't always feel good. And you don't always understand why these things are happening. And I know everybody here has been going through a whole process in the past year or so. And it's still a process. And I want to give a testimony quickly, a quick testimony. As I was praying, God, what have you got for me? I've heard these, you know, I've heard words before. And I want to get confirmation of, you know, the direction that we're supposed to be taking. And then during worship, the second to last song, this kingdom. You know, we've played that, I don't know how many times here from the CD. I never heard her read out that scripture from Isaiah 12 before. Never heard that part before. Maybe she did. Maybe Patrick cut it off. I have no idea. But, you know, one of the things we've been seeking about is the music that's coming out of here, the new songs that God is bringing through this church. And so I turned to Isaiah 12 because she read it and I wanted to read it again. Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion. Who are the people of Zion? That's us. That's for me, right? For great is the Holy One of Israel among you. You know, we had a man just before church started who stuck his head in the door here and said, we asked if we could help him because he didn't look like he was coming to church. And he said, well, I just wanted to see what time your church started and what kind of a spirit was in here. And then he just backed out the door and we're like, man, there's only one kind of spirit that should be in here. And I don't think he brought it with him. You know, it was already here. Shout aloud for great is the Holy One of Israel among you. He is here. He is with us.
Yes, amen.
And so I really do encourage you. And it was really bizarre because, you know, my little thought for the week, and I had their giving. Giving is releasing what is held close. Giving also means letting go without being forced to. That's giving, because otherwise it's being taken from your hand, right? And we want to give joyfully.
Yes.
So one of the things I want you to seek God about this week is about giving. We've talked about tithes, and we've talked about giving and offerings in the past. So here we have a specific need coming up. We really believe that God has given us a purpose with this music. Jean has even gone out, and we've actually talked to a fellow about producing a CD, and that's going to cost money. And this is a small church. Seek God this week what you might be able to give above and beyond your tithes. I don't want to see any diminishing in tithes and offerings that are already coming in. We're not going to take it from our missions giving. We're not going to take it from any other program we're already running. Okay? I want to see this separate. And if you decide that God tells you to lay, and it can be a one-time offering, it can be an ongoing monthly offering for a specific period of time. Whatever God tells you, when you give that, mark it on your check, mark it on your envelope, special CD project. Because I really feel that verse this morning was real confirmation that we're supposed to go forward with this. And this is a church project, and I want every person here to feel that they're a part of this project, that they have ownership of this project, that they're contributing in some way. Amen. And you know, if even right now all you can do is pray for us, man, that's better than anything anyway. Amen. The money comes. The money will come from somewhere, because what God requires, He provides.
Amen.
Right? And so we're taking the first steps in faith. We're not laying out any money until we see a complete direction, but we're taking those first steps. The songs keep coming.
Before you go any further, I want to add that everybody's part of this, right? Y'all are part of this?
Amen.
So whether you actually sing or not, or whether you're actually a part of the music group, the point is God's doing some things. And I don't know about y'all, but I want to be a part of everything that goes on here. I want to be. Sometimes it's not physically possible, but the point is, in every way I can, I want to be a part of it. Okay? And the point is, if God's not just given these songs so we can sit here and say, gee, look at all these nice songs we have here in this church. These songs are being written because of things that have been done in the hearts and the lives of people here, and because of the Word. So if you want to be a part of it, then ask God. Amen? So you'll be just as much. You know, when ministries go out, it's not just the people who go out. There's people behind them praying. There's people supporting the ministries. Whatever way that is. You and God figure that out. I'm not going there. But the point is, we're all in this together, are we not? We're a family, amen? So whether we're actually in the limelight or I don't like that word, in the forefront in some things or not, that doesn't mean that it's not important. And if we're gonna be ministers to ministers, and we're going to touch the nations as has been prophesied over this church, then we need to be a part of everything. So if God doesn't tell you to do anything, don't receive any condemnation. But if He does tell you to do something, be obedient. Amen? Because I'm telling you, some of these songs are awesome. All of them are.
I'd like everyone to know that the church holds the copyright to the songs that Donna and I have written. And any proceeds from the sale of the music, when it comes to that, will go to New Life Church.
Praise the Lord. See, now that's the right kind of heart. It's not for our elevation or escalation, it's for God's. Amen? He said, if I'll be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen? Praise the Lord. Gentlemen, come forward. Hallelujah. Father, right now this morning, we thank You, Lord, for Your presence. We thank You for Your interest in us, Lord, and the fact that You redeemed us for our fellowship with You, because You had a plan and a purpose for us. You love us with an everlasting love. I thank You for this morning, Lord, and now I pray that You bless the gift and the giver as they give back to You Your tithes and their offerings, Lord. Multiply it. Use it for Your kingdom. Bless the gift and the giver mightily. In Jesus' name we thank You and give You praise. Amen.
those words that they're just fabulous. These are the words that Donna handed me on this paper one day. She wrote it in church, I believe. You told me that you prayed all night in the darkness, fought the fight. You prayed for me when I was weak. I hope I can do this. While you stood strong, I was asleep. God heard your prayers and he just moved. Because you asked, he answered you. He tells us pray and so you knelt. The angels flew and Satan fell. Today the sun rose bright and clear. I have no worry, have no fear. I know that something happened here. Because I feel God's presence near. God hears my prayers. He has good plans. He hides my life safe in his hands.
Amen.
And he tells me kneel, and so I do. And now in turn, I pray for you. Beautiful.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. Hallelujah. We'll be blessed.
Are we dismissed?
We are dismissed.
Home fellowship.
Yeah, don't forget about the home fellowship.